Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Wine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now, let me ask you a question. Are you a type A? Type A personality? Well, I know I'm one for sure, and I'm sure a lot of you listening can relate to that. Tell me, can you imagine what it would be like to eliminate stress in your life, or maybe just lower it a little bit? Have you ever wondered why you are so compulsive? Now, that's a good question. Now, would you like to learn what happens when you confront the myth of work-life balance? Tell me, have you ever heard of a book called From Type A to Type Me? Now would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to stop doing and start living? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I'll be introducing you to my guest. She is a new guest on the show, and she will provide us with information, inspiration, and some really, really great advice about handling stress in your life. I'm pleased to announce that this show is live on Talk4Media and syndicated on iHeartRadio Talk with over 55 million subscribers. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure at iHeartRadio. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. Did you know that fast-paced, deadline-driven, and outcome-focused American life and work culture has bred type A personality behaviors such as ambition, work multitasking, and perfectionism? Unfortunately, Americans also have extremely high rates of depression and heart disease, which are often caused by common type A stressors and pressures to have it all, to be it all. My guest is the author From Type A to Type Me and stress reduction coach. She joins us to explore the negative effects of doing too much and how making simple, very simple, practical changes can reduce our stress, helping us to find the joy in life again. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show today, Melissa Heisler. Hi, Melissa. How are you today?
I'm excellent, January. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yes, I'm thrilled to have you on the show, and I want to share with our listeners that you are Skyping in from Cabo, New Mexico. How are things down in New Mexico?
It's actually not New Mexico. It's Old Mexico.
Old Mexico. Yeah, right.
Cabo. True Mexico. Wonderful. Exactly. Yeah. It's another beautiful day here. You can't beat the weather down in Cabo San Lucas.
Cabo San. Okay. Share with our listeners how you came to reside in Cabo.
Well, it was a dream of my husband and mine for quite a few years. And we were given an opportunity to move down here for at least a year, helping out a friend of ours. And so we rented out our house and sold our possessions and took my little Honda Civic and a small trailer and drove on down.
Oh, that's an amazing adventure. I'm sure someday you're probably going to write a book about that, too. You know, I like to start the shows off by asking my guests where their success story began. So could you share with our listeners where you were born and raised and who your early mentors were?
Well, I was born and raised just outside of Chicago, Illinois, and lived there for most of my life. I would have to say, actually, this just popped into my mind, but I think my first mentor was my third grade teacher. Third or fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Seifert, if she's listening, hopefully. She really made an impression on me. I think she was the first person. I was very much the introvert.
Oh.
And she was the first person to really pull me out of my shell and see my capabilities. And I don't think if I hadn't had her support, I don't know if I would have gone down the track that I did. So she was really kind of the first person to get me out of my shell and show me what I was capable of.
That's super, because one of my first mentors was my third grade teacher, Mrs. Maloney, and I'm sure she's not listening because she's probably not here anymore, but I owe so much to her. Now, when you started, let me ask you, this: were you a type A as a child? What kind of child were you?
I would have to say yes. If we're looking probably from fifth grade on, I was the type A. I was the straight A student and the teacher's pet. And I think at age 10, I started helping out at my dad's work. It was not a family business, but I still came by there in the summers and helped out. So I was the person who always had, you know, at least one or two jobs outside of school and really focused on grades and achievements and kind of did all of that without living my life. You know, it was all about the achievement, all about
right. The
success, which was great, but not about actually living that success.
Now, here's a question I'm curious about. Were you the oldest child in the family?
I am not. I am a middle child.
Okay.
Which I do find, it's interesting, there's a lot of middle children that are my clients because they also get, they're that sandwich, they're the peacemakers, you know, they tend to be very aware of what's going on around them and helping others out, and they get very depleted because of that. Mm-hmm. But there are also, I was just going to say, first children who are the go-getters. I think they're much more the typical type A's that we see.
Yeah. When you say type A, I definitely think of the oldest child of my three children. Now, the second child is what I would term a type A, but she's a very relaxed type A, and she's totally a people pleaser. It sounds like you might have been a people pleaser, too.
Absolutely, and I'm still guilty at it. I call myself a recovering type A, and I guess a recovering people pleaser. It's one of those things that there's always that knee-jerk action to have those type A habits. But it's something that I think stays with us. It just depends on how we control and how we make it work in our lives.
Well, you know, I'm looking, as we're speaking, I'm looking at your book at Amazon, and it's an inspiring and practical guidebook to put your life into the driver's seat, to put you back into the driver's seat. That's a fantastic premise. Your cover is fabulous. How to Stop Doing Life and Start Living It. How long did it take you to write this book, Melissa?
It actually took me 7 years.
Okay.
It was a labor of love. I spent a lot of time in a lot of different renditions. I think some of it was things that I needed to get out but weren't necessarily what I needed to help others with.
Mm-hmm.
And this final version probably took me a year and a half, 2 years, to really get it into the shape where it's a practical tool for people to use to make their own change to start living their life. And I'm thrilled that I've been told by many people they keep it on their bedstand. And
oh, really?
So they'll still use it as, you know, I had a hard day or I've got this situation, and they'll go to a section and reread it or go to some of the daily habit options, the tools in there. And it's really a daily guide that they can use in their life, which is just fabulous.
Well, this is a fantastic book, and I'm looking at the content and going over the chapters as we're chatting. I want to have you back on the show because I think we could do a show about each chapter. They're so fantastic. Now, how did you get involved with stress reduction, which is a big part of what you have to deal with when you're a type A?
Well, it was my own life. I've taken my own journey from being a type A to a type me. So I got involved in stress reduction to find how to reduce my own stress. I found myself at a point where I was having extreme physical side effects due to my driven nature. And so I needed to find a cure or some way to change the way I went about life so that I could change my health.
When you talk about side effects, what are you referring to?
I had muscle tension. I was couldn't sleep. I was addicted to caffeine. I was having reproductive issues. It was a whole slew of many different illnesses together. And it was interesting because I couldn't find help in the medical profession because mm-hmm. they'd all look at one aspect of me, and none of them really could identify that it was coming from stress.
Okay. And, you know, so many times people don't always recognize the negative effects of their type A personality. You seem to recognize it, but did you have anyone point it out to you or help you discover this situation?
You know, I think there were people along the way that would point it out, but I didn't want to let go of it. I think along with a lot of type A's is that it's our personality. It's where our value and our worth is. And the idea of relaxing or doing less than 120%, we feel like that hurts who we are and our value and our worth. And so there might have been tidbits along the way that kind of told me it was out of control.
Now, did you have the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back? What happened?
The moment that really hit it for me was my father-in-law had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, really for me, it was my physical health was the straw, is that I went to numerous different doctors trying to find a solution to my health problems. And so the straw that broke my back was when I finally went back to my gynecologist, and this is after 4 years or more of trying medications and different diets and nutritions and everything else. And he looked at the list of everything I had done and said, well, you know what, at 30 years old, let's give you a hysterectomy. Maybe that will help.
Oh, and dear.
Yes.
Okay.
So it was that maybe, you know, maybe let's take out organs and see if that helps, that made me go, you know, there's got to be something different. There's got to be something else going on here that's causing this. And that actually led me to, I went to a lot of alternative practitioners to see if that would help. And finally, out of desperation, I actually flew down to Peru and worked with a shaman because I was trying to heal my physical symptoms. And it was there that I actually had my intellectual, emotional awakening as to what I was doing to myself being a type A.
Wow. And I'm sure the part where you were trying to avoid a hysterectomy definitely would have figured into this equation. Speaking of wonderful equations, we're going to hear from our sponsors. And when we come back with Melissa, we're going to talk to her some more about her wonderful book, From Type A to Type Me, and her journey to health. We'll be right back.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Wine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Wine at Amazon.com. With over 30 years as a registered nurse with empathic ability, Carolyn Green, a.k.a. The Energy Nurse, is bridging the gap between traditional and alternative medicine, certified in the areas of energy medicine, life coaching, and as a medical intuitive. She brings to each client an integrative approach to body, mind, and spirit. Her book, found on Balboa Press and Amazon, Getting to Know You, Guided Pearls of Wisdom for a More Soulful Existence, is a channel journey for clearing the mind clutter to bring about healthier thought patterns. As a motivational speaker, Carolyn brings new light to old issues and is engaging, interactive, and enlightening. With her newly launched The Energy Nurse jewelry line, she brings to you stones and crystals that are not only beautiful to wear, but balancing and healing as well. To contact or learn more about Carolyn, go to www.theenergynurse.com.
Become the next great business success story by getting free PR for your business. That's why January Jones is offering a free copy of the new audio how-to course called How to Build Your Business, Get More Email Subscribers, and Make More Money Free Doing Podcast and Internet Talk Radio Interviews. Your copy is free for the asking at realfasttalkradio.com. Again, that website is realfasttalkradio.com. Go now.
Welcome back to Real Fast January Jones. I want to share that the Real Fast Talk Radio book launched today, and we're very excited, and we're having a wonderful response to it. Today, I'm visiting with my guest, Melissa Heisler, and she is the author of From Type A to Type Me. Now, Melissa, before we took the break, you mentioned that you had gone to South America and you had a breakthrough with a shaman. How did that come about? How did you find this person?
Well, you know, it was one of those coincidences that happened in my life. And mm-hmm. I was receiving a massage from my therapist, and she always talked about Peru, and she was kind of the hippie kind of gal. And so she always had great adventures, and they were interesting to hear about. But she had mentioned one day that this shaman had cured a man of cancer.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, yeah, like if he can do that, he's got to be able to do something for me, because I was just at that desperation point.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay,
that's how I found myself traveling 3,000 miles.
Okay, so you get to Peru, and it's interesting to me, especially because my husband and grandson just returned from Peru. They went to Lima, Peru, and had a wonderful time. So you get to Peru. How long were you there, and what kind of a treatment was this?
Well, I was there for 10 days, and I did have an amazing healing situation there. But that wasn't my aha. That wasn't the thing that really helped me get out of my type A ways.
Uh-huh.
It was spending 10 days down there. I was eating well a month beforehand. We were up in the Great Mountain Air. It was a very spiritual and emotional circumstance. And I did feel, I think for the first time, really clear and felt accepted and felt that love and felt just a peace. But the aha for me was when I landed in Miami and I rushed to get my bags and I rushed to find my terminal and I was worried I'd lose my flight. Mm-hmm. I started feeling all those physical symptoms come back.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so for me it was, you know, it might have taken two shaman and 10 days and you mm-hmm. know, magical cacti to help me heal. But I was more powerful than that, because I could make all the pain come back within seconds.
Okay.
And so that really led me on my journey, is how do I feel the amazing way I did in Peru, but be able to do it each and every day.
Okay. Now, when you went for your 10 days, did you go alone or did you have someone go with you?
It was part of a group. Actually, my massage therapist was one of the women there, but I didn't know the other 10 to 15 people who were on the trip with us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How did your husband feel about it?
He was very happy to let me go as long as I didn't make him come with me.
Okay. He sounds like he could be related to my husband. Now, why do you think so many of us are feeling the effects of stress these days? I know I do feel it. I see it in my grandchildren. This is just a very difficult world to grow up in and to survive in now, isn't it?
It absolutely is. It's so fast-paced with mm-hmm. what's going on. I think it's a society that really rewards competition and success and the focus on work and accomplishing, especially in the United States, where almost the first thing when you meet somebody new, you ask them, what do you do? You know, we're so tied in our worth towards what our job is. And then you add in the technology and the internet, which is a fabulous mm-hmm. thing, but it encourages us to work at the same level a computer can. And we're really not capable of doing that.
No, not at all. And it's interesting, too, because you see so many young people and even older people. Everyone's texting. Everyone has their iPhone in their hand. We've gotten into the habit when we go out to dinner with our family and grandchildren, we make everyone put their phone in the middle of the table.
I think it's a necessity these days. I was just on a conference call before this, and the individual, you know, every 3 minutes the phone would go off, and it's almost like we're Pavlov's dog. You know, it's, oh, the bell rings, we got to check it. And what's hurting us is that we're not able to switch back and forth like that. Every time we go from a conversation to checking our phone, we're actually losing brain capacity. So that's why at the end of the day, we feel exhausted and tired because we're not being focused. We're not functioning the way our brains were meant to.
Okay, so we're all so busy multitasking, but our brain, you're saying our brain isn't meant to do that?
It is not meant to do that. And I know there's a lot of teenagers that would disagree with me, but there's a lot of research they've done these days that our brain cannot switch back and forth between tasks. We actually, I think they were saying, and I don't have the statistics in front of me, but it's almost like worse than smoking marijuana. It slows down our brain capacity that much to switch between projects. And so when we're at work and we're under pressure to make things happen, and then we're switching between emails and phone calls and texts, we're actually making ourselves less and less efficient, which makes us more and more stressed.
Wow, this should be news to the, we should spread this in the workplace. So what, is there a possibility that all this multitasking could possibly be an addiction that we get into?
Oh, I think so, yes. I think definitely people are addicted to multitasking and the technology, that there's actually research that has shown that we get a high when we can read an email or delete an email. There's a little bit of that adrenaline that goes to us, so it is a high. And so every time we check our text, boom, we're getting fed, and it does become an addiction.
This interview is really hitting home. I'm very glad we're having this interview. Now, let's talk a little bit about work-life balance. Is that the answer, to try to get this, our whole act put together and balance it out?
It is and it isn't. I think that the idea of work-life balance, when it's usually presented, separates us. It kind of assumes that we're one person at work and one person at home. But then we feel trapped, like, oh my gosh, you know, I should be doing this for work, or I should be here for my children. And we feel trapped and kind of excluded. So I believe it's more work-life integration, so that we can be the same person at work than we are at home. And a focus on what we value, what we truly value in life, should come before any of the tasks that we do. So it's not about balancing our tasks and responsibilities. It's actually about getting back to what it is that we value and using those values to decide what it is that we work on. Does that make sense?
It certainly does. And it's if I describe my day to you today, the first thing you tell me to do is to go and buy your book and take some time out and read it, because I think I definitely need this book. I also need my wonderful sponsors, and we're going to hear from them right now, and we'll be right back with Melissa.
January's co-host, Connie Cockrell, the author of Mystery at the Fair, has been writing since 2011 after a challenge from her daughter. An eclectic writer, she's written mysteries, sci-fi, fantasy, and even a thriller. She has been included in 4 different anthologies and published on the e-zine Everyday Fiction. Connie continues to write and entertain with whatever comes into her head. You can find her books on most ebook retail sites. Paperback editions are also available. Be sure to visit her at www.conniesrandomthoughts.com, on Facebook, and on Twitter at Connie Cockrell. The new book, God Reconsidered, Searching for the Truth in the Battle Between Atheism and Religion by Scott Smith, explains why both militant atheists and believers in traditional religions ignore inconvenient truths. Scott argues in favor of the insights of Gnostic Christianity. Check out www.godreconsidered.com to read a sample chapter. That's godreconsidered.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities? In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Also, I'm pleased to announce that Priceless Personalities is available at audiobooks.com. We have a priceless personality visiting with us today from Cabo San Lucas, Melissa Heisler. Melissa, let's share your website information. Also, could you share how my listeners can get your book?
Well, I'll do that all in one. They can go to fromtypeatotypeme.com. And there they can download a free chapter of my book so they can check it out.
Okay.
And there's also a link to Amazon if they'd like to pick up the book there, both in paperback and Kindle. And they can also see the rest of my site there and learn a little bit more about the work that I do with individuals and groups.
Okay, fantastic. That is from typeatotypeme.com. Now, what is, you talk about type me. Would you describe what a type me is?
Well, type me, I think the type A is so focused on accomplishments and outside tasks and responsibilities, where type me is more internal. It's living by your values. It's not living by others' expectations or assumptions. It's really redefining what your life is specifically to you and not defining it by success or accomplishment, but defining it by what you want to experience, how you want to experience your day, and really being in the moment to experience that. So where a type A is focused on outcome and success and tasks outside of themselves, a type me is focused on a successful day is truly living an authentic life in the moment. And so it can a type me can still be very successful, but it's a success that's actually, that feeds our souls and feeds who we are.
Okay. Now, when we're looking at men and women, who of, which one is more type A and which one is more type me?
Well, I guess it depends on how you define, I guess it depends on the person and that mode. But I do find a lot of mothers being the type A personality. They're the natural caretakers. They are split between work and their family. And they really feel that there's a duty
that they have to make others happy. And I think also the difference between men and women is, as men are growing up, they're encouraged to, you know, be their own man, to make something of themselves, that they really define who their type me is, where a woman is usually encouraged to think of others. They're rewarded for what they do, not who they are. And so I think a lot of women find their worth through doing, which then leads to those type A habits.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that mother-child bond is so strong that it's very easy to think of others before yourself and not to put yourself first, which is what basically happens with the type A personalities, isn't it?
Absolutely. So women are really discouraged to speak up for themselves and their own needs because it's seen as negative or selfish or, you know, not putting their husband or children first. And I think there's this idea that women become martyrs almost, that they give up themselves, they give up their type me in order to take care of others.
Okay, so how do you go about learning how to say no? Because most women tend to keep saying yes all the time, don't they?
They do, and the answer is to start saying yes to yourself instead of saying no to other people. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of times it's hard for women to speak up for themselves because they can see other people's needs and they feel they're saying no to them, where actually the mind shift is to start saying, I deserve to eat first. I deserve to take care of myself. I deserve a day of pampering, and that's okay. So it's really saying yes to our needs.
Okay, now, is that what you refer to as the secret sauce?
The secret sauce is one step before that, because the other issue is accepting our own power. I remember when I was in Peru, you know, I traveled 3,000 miles and spent all this money to be healed by this shaman. And I remember being at this one site and I had an amazing experience. And I ran over to the shaman and said, you know, I was over there and this happened to me. What is it? And he turned to me and said, what do you think? And he walked away. And I was so angry. I'm like, you know, here's this expert.
I paid all this money.
Exactly. And it wasn't until months afterwards, he was actually trying to tell me, you have the answers. What do you think? Where's your words? Where's your power? And so I think the secret sauce of becoming type me is first accepting that we do have power, to stop looking outside of ourselves for answers and to start looking inside for our own answers.
Well, that is a very powerful statement for women listening and for everyone listening, to learn to accept your own power. And I love that the answer is all within us. And, you know, that's so true. So many times when you get in such a state that you can't figure out what to do, you need to just slow down, be quiet, and listen to your inner soul speaking. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. And it's also taking responsibility for our lives. I think a lot of times we want to blame circumstances or blame other people or blame where we lived or how we were born or 20,000 other things. And it's really when we take responsibility for creating our life that we can start making choices to make that life better. So when we accept that we have our own power, we also have to take responsibility to use that power to create the life we really want to live.
Okay, now I have a question for you. I had to say no today to two things. How do you learn to say no without guilt?
Well, it, as I mentioned before, it's about saying yes to yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's really about accepting and loving yourself and your own self-worth. Mm-hmm. I think it's also important to stop thinking of it as all or nothing. You know, it may not be a hard no. It may be a no right now. I know a lot of people I work with are caretakers, whether they're taking care of their children or their parents, and it can be overwhelming. So they feel, I can't say no to take my parent to the doctor or to bring them a meal or whatever care they need. But it may be a yes, but. It may be, yes, I will get you to the doctor, but I'm not going to do it. I have this service that's going to take you. Or choosing.
Yeah.
You know, choosing. I know a lot of people would want to take their parents to the doctor to know what's going on. So they might choose to take that role, but they may not choose to bring meals every day. They might split it up between siblings. So it's not a hard no. It's really looking at what needs to be done, you know, looking at your two choices today about what to say no to, looking at what needs to be done, what do you value, what do you really want to do, what are you best at doing, and what are things that maybe somebody else could do better for you and it wouldn't be a stressor for you or for them to take it over.
Well, you know, when I say no, I always kind of throw in a good excuse or something else. And usually that something else is probably the best thing for me. But yet I go away from it feeling selfish. And I'm sure so many women have that same experience, don't you think?
Absolutely. I think so many women, and start listening for this in your conversations, when women say no or when they don't want to do something or whatever it is, there's always an explanation. There's always an excuse. There's always a, this is why I'm doing it. And so I think there's this feeling that women are supposed to be accommodating. And, you know, this again, and I don't mean to repeat myself, goes back to saying yes to us. We don't need to explain it. If I don't want to go out to dinner with you tonight, I just say, I don't want to go out to dinner. It doesn't mean anything bad to you. It doesn't, you know, there's nothing else to it. I don't have to explain why or where I'm going or what I prefer to do. It's really being in touch with what is good for us and being an adult and saying, this is what I need. And I think it's so hard on women because, again, we care so much about what others think.
Right.
And we care about the experience they have. But the only experience we're responsible for is our own.
Oh, this is such a powerful message. I'm going to definitely get your book. I have got to work on saying no just because I said no. And stop making excuses. But I'm not going to make excuses for my sponsors because they're all wonderful. And we're going to hear from a few of them right now. And we'll be right back with Melissa.
From cowgirl to caregiver to consultant, meet Becky Fiola, author of The Elder Care Consultant, your guide to making the best choices possible. Growing up on remote ranches across the western states, she tended to orphan creatures large and small. Later on, that nurturing instinct served her well as the primary caregiver for her late husband. And now, she offers hope and guidance as a consultant to the elderly and their families. When you need advice on caring for an aging loved one, you can find those answers and her book at Amazon.com and her website, www.assistedlivingadvantage.com. Joining January Jones as her co-host on the show is Miles Miller, the Great Success Creator. Miles is a two-time best-selling author with books entitled Against the Grain and Successonomics. He continues to transform 100,000 people all over the world through his speaking and training. His uplifting and essential messages like Bulletproof, Time Machine, and Strength in Numbers are impacting every audience he meets. Together with January Jones, they'll explore how to be successful and what steps you can take to achieve the success you want. Visit successhq.net, leadup.biz, and learningbreaks.com.
January Jones wants you to grow your business fast, getting free PR, doing interviews with podcasters and internet radio shows. Grab your free copy of our audio how-to course called How to Build Your Business, Get More Email Subscribers, and Make More Money Free Doing Podcast and Internet Talk Radio Interviews. Grab your copy right now at realfasttalkradio.com. Again, that website is realfasttalkradio.com.
Welcome back to Real Fast January Jones with my guest, Melissa Heisler. Melissa, let's talk about the type A saying yes to everything. And is that because we think we're controlling everything in our life, or does it give us power over other people?
it's not necessarily power over other people, but it is the way that we control and feel safe in our life. You know, it's whether we need control for ourselves or we want to make sure that our children and family are safe, that we then try to control everything around us, you know, what our kids are putting in their mouth, what our holiday dinners look like in our job.
Oh, yeah.
We're the doer, you know. We try to fix and find safety by doing. And it's actually unsettling sometimes to not do, to be in that space of just trusting everything will be okay without us stepping into it. And so part of getting to type me is letting go of that control of things and learning how to relax into the situation and see that things will turn out okay even if we don't jump into the middle of it.
Okay. Now, you teach daily habits. Could you share with us some daily habits that we could probably start incorporating into our life?
Absolutely. There's four buckets of daily habits that I teach, which are awareness, acceptance, alternatives, and action. And the daily habits are really important because, you know, I went to Peru to be healed. I wanted that magic pill to fix me and make me better. And what I learned actually was that we need daily habits. We need things that we do every day to keep us in alignment. So, you know, the first one, awareness, something that we can do is be aware of how your choices affect your experience. So for me, I started to become aware of the correlation. If I have caffeine, it causes a lot of my physical symptoms. But I felt I needed that caffeine to make it through the workday. You know, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things we do and do them unconsciously or consciously to think that we need this to function, but we're not seeing the possible negative side effects to those choices. So growing our awareness is a great daily habit because it gives us the tool then to make change.
And that would go along with eating healthier, exercising, and all the things that you can do that will affect your life. Number two is acceptance. Talk about that.
Acceptance is truly accepting ourselves as we are. I know if there are your women listeners out there, every woman wants to lose 20 pounds no matter how much she weighs. So really accepting who we are and what we enjoy and accepting our type me. And then it's also accepting the others in our lives. You know, there's people in our lives that maybe aren't acting the way that we want them to, or we can see that they could be better, but accepting them as they are, where they are right now. And the third one, and this one can cause a lot of stress, when we don't have acceptance of circumstances. You know, this is when the stock market crashes and we get all upset and we're like, oh, it shouldn't be that way. And it's, well, it is, you know, trying to fight that reality.
The point where you say it is what it is. And I think, you know, one thing that's wonderful about getting older is it kind of happens without you realizing. I guess you get too tired to fight the circumstances. What is number four, fourth daily habit we need?
Well, the third one is alternatives. Once you have awareness and acceptance, then you can start seeing alternatives that weren't there before. You know, when you have your rigid vision of what life should be. And the last one is action. You know, it's great to know these habits and to understand the concept, but you really need to make this a new way of living, of taking daily action to put these new habits into your life. And to go through the ups and downs of life. I mean, you can learn the habits, and I've gone through this before many times myself. You learn the habits, you're doing great every day, and then someone you know passes, or you have a medical issue, or you lose your job. And it's like you kind of go back to square one. And so by having a daily practice and really walking the talk, you can make those ups and downs a little bit easier for yourself.
Okay, and I agree with you. And what is the one concrete way we can all do starting today? I'm going to definitely incorporate the daily habits, but is there one word or one thing we could do today?
Well, I think one practical tool for all of us to look at is to stop being ruled by technology. You know, we talked about this a little bit earlier on, that, you know, Pavlov dog response to our emails or our texts. Technology is fabulous. It's wonderful to stay connected. It's wonderful to communicate. But you have to remember it's a tool to use. It is not our manager. It is not our slave driver, you know. So
we have to step back from technology.
We step back from technology and rule it. You know, there's a lot of people that I've worked with that have fast-paced jobs, and they could get texts and emails all day long, and they could never keep up with it.
Yeah.
But this goes back to multitasking. But when they change and say, you know, at the top of the hour, I'm going to spend, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes on communication, they're much more efficient. They get it done. They touch it once. And they're in a much clearer state as well. So learn what works well for you to manage your technology and stop being so responsive to it.
Well, that is great advice, and it's putting me in a clearer state already as I'm looking at my studio with all these demands from technology. Melissa, it's been wonderful having you on the show. I hope everyone listening will get her book. I intend to get it. It is at typeatotypeme.com. You can get it at Amazon. We could do a show on each chapter. It's a fascinating book. Well done, Melissa, and I hope you will come back and visit with us again.
I would love to be here again. And just to be clear, the website is from typeatotypeme.com.
Okay. Wonderful. To my listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today as much as I've done it. My upcoming guests are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing, just like Melissa. We really love sharing our stories, our struggles, and especially our secrets today for success. Remember my mantra: if you think it, then you can do it. So now, dear friends, stop with the whining, then start smiling, and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then you can start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my guest today, Melissa Heisler. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with music by Serantos. Since this is Veterans Week and Veterans Day today, we'll be closing with Serantos' song, The Veteran.
This one goes out to all who served your country long and proud. The ones who wanted to but never could, shout out loud.
To my country, I gave the best years of my life. To my country, I was as loyal to you as I was to my wife. I went to war just for you, so you could sleep at night. I kept the bad land far away from you. I fought the good fight. I did it all for you. Life. That means I fought for you. The blood they
to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.
Thank you. I have the